When we read the Bible, we are introduced, of course, to many people in our childhood. There are others in the Bible we don't know anything or very, very little about their childhood. But there are some in the Bible we do know. We do know, of course, about Moses, how he was born in a time of great persecution, a great time of danger, how he was loved by his parents, and how he was hidden. But of course, there's John the Baptist, who was born to Elizabeth and Zacharias in their old age. We think of God. We think of God coming, the angel of the Lord coming here to his mother and father with a great promise about him. And what a promise it was for John before his birth. Because in Luke 1 verse 15, it says, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." And so we find there are different lessons about children in the Bible. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the details about his birth, where it took place, and different things about his young life. One of the most well-known children in the Bible is Samuel. In fact, if I would ask the question to Christians to name some of the children in the Bible, well, you would say, no doubt for a while, but before very long, this name will come up in your heart and in your mind. Samuel. This is what we find here in this word, the word of God. Samuel brought into the world. Samuel, I say to you tonight, was no different than any other child ever brought into the world before him or after him. Samuel was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Samuel had a fallen nature like everybody else. Samuel had a great need, even as a little child, to find Christ and to find the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. And so in the very early chapters of this book, we're introduced to this child, Samuel. And there's some lessons I want to bring before you here tonight. I want to think about the dedication of Samuel. As a young child, we see here in the reading of the Bible that Samuel was dedicated unto the Lord. This is found very early in the history of his life. In fact, we find it in the prayer of his parent, because in the very first chapter of this book, there's a mother and she's weeping. She's in great bitterness. She's in the tabernacle and she's praying. And dear friends, she's weeping before God. Why is she praying? Why is her heart broken? She's praying for a child. That's why she's praying. She's praying for a child. In verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And here is our prayer in verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." And here's a woman before God. Listen, she's praying for a son. She's praying for a son before he's even brought into this world. And she says to the Lord, "If you answer this petition," here's what her prayer, friends, "I'll give him unto the Lord. I'll give him to you. This child, if you hear me, if you hear my prayer, I will take this child and I will give him unto you." Now, in the reading of this passage, we find the Lord answered her prayer. Samuel was born. And it tells us here in the verse 20, she called his name Samuel because the name Samuel means asked of God. She had asked God. She had asked God for a son, for a child, and God had heard her prayer. And she says, "I call his name Samuel." But dear friends, we find here in verse 27, "For this child I prayed." Now I want to say here, here's a woman who dedicated her child to the Lord. How did she do it? By prayer. By prayer. Before the child was ever born, she was praying about her family. And dear friends, when the child was born, she says here, for this child, this little boy, I pray. and I will give him on to the Lord. And I want you to notice here tonight, she did not want him to be a worldly child. She didn't want him to be a wealthy child. She wanted this little boy to be God's. That's what she wanted. Hey, we'll give him on to the Lord. And we find here in the dedication of Samuel, here a mother praying. I'm not saying Elkanah didn't pray. No doubt he did. But his prayers are not recorded here in the Bible. But I'm finding here they're dedicating their child to the Lord in the place of prayer. And they're saying, Lord, I give you this child. There's been dedications in the last couple of weeks here in our church. And I trust, of course, it is the parents' desire. But this is, I give my child to the Lord. You couldn't give your child in dedication to any better person. No one better, no one greater than Christ. Than to pray, than to dedicate our children unto the Lord. And Samuel was dedicated by the prayer of his parent. It tells about Susanna Wesley. She gave birth to 19 children in 19 years. 9 of those children died when they were still babies. And she made a promise she would give time to God to pray. But of course, when you're trying to bring up about 10 or 11 children, not with the modern things that we have today, the washing, the milking the cows, taking care, working long hours, she found there was time that she really didn't have time to pray. But she set aside time and said, Lord, I am going to pray. And she made a rule in her home that when her children was here in the place of prayer, they were not to disturb her. She used to get away into a corner, and she had this apron, and she pulled it up over her head, a bit like a tent. I'm not saying you get one of those, of course, but there she was. You know, men and women, when they looked across and saw a mother with the apron over her head, they didn't disturb her. She was praying. She was seeking God. She prayed for her children, that they would be the Lord's, that they would be saved. She taught them the Word of God. And we know, of course, it was John and Charles Wesley in that family who became great evangelists, great soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here in the dedication of Samuel, Samuel was dedicated to the Lord. For this child I pray, Lord, I give you this child. I know that every parent in this meeting will be in the place of prayer for their children, at home in the public prayer meeting, praying for our children. We need to pray for our children. It is a wicked age, difficult days for our children, young people as well. We need to pray. And the dedication, there was the prayer of the parent. I give this child unto the Lord. You couldn't do anything better than give your children in prayer to the Lord. Not only was it the prayer of the parent, there was the price that was paid. Because we find here something this in verse 24 and verse 25. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks, and 1 ephod, a flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought them on to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and listened, and brought the child to Eli. And so we find here the gift offerings and blood being shed. 3 bullocks. Now I can tell you that I know what the price of bullocks was in those days. But I'm sure it was dear enough, friends. I'm sure it was dear enough. I'm sure this man, Elkanah, and his family were not rich in any shape or form. But I want you to notice this. They were willing to pay the price. The price of dedicating Samuel to the Lord. They were willing to pay any price. Of course, there's a typical picture here of the blood, the sacrifice, a sacrifice of Christ. And because of Christ, they're going to do this. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And we find here the price that was paid in the sacrifice. And of course, in the separation. I want you to think of this tonight. She was handing her child over. Now, any parents, think of this tonight. You know that is not easy. I have known of parents taking their children, or I'm talking about young children, to university. And had to take them someplace and drop them off. You know what they said? They cried the whole way home. They cried the whole way home. They took their child and had to say farewell and leave them. And there's probably parents here tonight who knows what I'm speaking about here and doing these things. It's not easy. The separation. And to see them leave home. And I think of Samuel. I think of his mother. She loved him. She held him. He was in her heart. And she said, I vowed a vow unto the Lord, and I bring him to the Lord, and I'm going to give him to the Lord. And there was separation. She could only see him once a year. Once a year she got up to see young Samuel. Dear friends, there was a price to be paid. But listen, I want you to listen tonight. I give him to the Lord. I say, parents, tonight by faith, if we can just hand our children into the hands of Christ. Say, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price to see your children with the Lord? And there is a price to be paid. You have to take time for your children to teach them the Word of God and to pray for your children. And it's good to gather them around and have family altars and family worship and read the Bible and to teach them. Remember in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sitteth in thine house, and when thou walketh by the way, and when thou lieth down, and when thou risest up. Here is the conversation in this home. It is the word of the living God. And it tells us they are to teach them diligently unto thy children, in the morning, at night, whatever. There is a price to be paid if we want our children to be the Lord's. We had to roll our sleeves up. We had to bend our knees. We had to work, we pray, to bring them up in the fear and the ordination of the Lord. In 3 John, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That is a great text. No greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. That's my text for my family from the other side. I give it to them and they still have it to this day. No greater joy than to see them loving Christ and following Christ, living for the Lord Jesus every day of their life. And we find in this dedication that there was a price that was paid. And many parents today have the emphasis on the wrong thing. They want their children to be intelligent. Now, there's nothing wrong with encouraging them with school or to be prosperous or wealthy. Well, it was not so with Hannah. No, no. She wanted Samuel to be the Lord's. And that should be the desire in the heart of every parent in this meeting. Don't want them to be rich or famous. Good to see him getting on in life. We have to maybe commend him on things. But friends, to be the Lord's is more important. There's a price to be paid. And then there was a presentation to the priest. But we find in verse 27, when she came, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I have asked. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And we find here the presentation to the priest. You bring him up to Shiloh, to Eli. And she said, here, listen, there he is. There's a little child. Here's the one I prayed for. Here's the one that I love. But I'm telling you, I lent him. I give him on to the Lord. Listen here tonight. As long as he lives, it's for life. There's no going back now. It's not for 6 months. I'm not lending to the Lord for a year, for 10 years, 20 years. No, no. Listen here tonight. In this dedication, as long as he lives, he's the Lord's. And dear friends, you see here dedication of Samuel, a very solemn thing. We're saying to the Lord, I give my child to the Lord. And as I said, their children and parents have done this in recent days in the church. We think of Reuben and Charlie this morning, and now Joshua, with a little run of dedications here in the church. I trust, of course, and even the parents in the past who have done this, that they've brought their child to the house of the Lord and says, Lord, by faith I give them to you. I give my children to you. And so we find here the dedication of Samuel. Samuel, there he is, a young fella, a young child. Don't know how old he was, but there he is. Imagine having to say farewell to his dad and farewell to mom. He says that he knew in his heart that they had given him to the Lord, and he never complained. We find himself here here in this tabernacle, the house of the Lord. But we find, secondly, about the salvation of Samuel. Samuel was in the house of the Lord, but it was not saved. You see, in chapter 3, in verse 7, I take it from the words of chapter 3, verse 7. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And you know, when you think of this, dear friends, here's a young man in God's house. He was ministering in some sense unto the Lord as well. But here's the thing to learn. He was not saved. This did not save him at all. When his mother and father took him here to the Lord and says, Lord, I give my child to you, it did not save Samuel at all. And maybe his parents here tonight says, Noel, I brought my children to the front of this church. I've dedicated my children to the Lord, and tonight they're not saved. Well, it doesn't save them. Oh, dear friend, it doesn't save them. It takes a mighty intervention of God to save. Even in the heart and the life of young Samuel, God was going to have to step into his life. And that's what happened with Samuel. Because we find here in the salvation of Samuel that God called him. And that's a tremendous thing. We find it was a personal call. Chapter 3, verse 4. It says in verse 3, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was led down to say, notice the word in verse 4, that the Lord calls Samuel. There's a voice rings out here in the tabernacle. It is the voice of God. The Lord called Samuel. There was no mistake. Listen here tonight. There was no mistake to the one God was speaking to. He was speaking to Samuel. You see that in verse 8. The Lord called Samuel. In verse 8 and verse 10, the Lord called unto him, Samuel, Samuel. And the Lord was calling Samuel. He called him. Listen, there was a voice ringing out here in the night. It was the voice of God saying, Samuel, Samuel, God is calling Samuel. Oh, dear friends, to be saved, God calls you. He calls you. That's why you read in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Listen, called to be saints. God calls us. Christ calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Christ calls us unto himself. He calls us to come to him. And now there's some here tonight in this meeting, and the Lord, he's speaking to you personally. You're troubled about your sin. You know you're lost without Christ. You know that he alone is the Savior of the world. He died upon the cross and shed his blood, and there's none can save your soul but Christ. He's calling you. The Lord called Samuel. And I asked you tonight, is he calling you? Well, Samuel was a bit mixed up with this call. We find he ran to Eli three times. He thought it was Eli calling him in the middle of the night to call him. And you can see that in verse 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 3. And he ran on to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. Well, you can imagine Eli getting a rude awakening here in the middle of the night. This young boy coming in, well, what do you want? You've called me. Well, he said unto him, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. That happened three times. The Lord called Samuel. Listen. And he thought it was Eli. Three times it happened. And we notice the call was persistent. It says, and the Lord called yet again in verse 6. And in verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And then the fourth time, verse 10, called his other name, Samuel, Samuel. And what I find here, God, he's calling Samuel. He's calling Samuel. Listen, friends, he's calling Samuel. How long tonight has God been calling you? How long have you sat under the gospel? How long have you heard his voice? Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I give you rest. How long have you heard the voice of Jesus say, come, come unto me and rest? He called them. We sang that hymn tonight, O sinner, the Savior is calling. He's calling for thee. He's calling you tonight. Samuel was in the house of God. He's calling him. You're in the house of God tonight. He's calling you. Samuel was in darkness of the night. He called them. He's calling you tonight. Oh, the power of the call. In verse 10, remember Eli told him, listen, he said, Eli perceived on down the chapter in verse 8 that the Lord had called the child. Eli says, there's something going on here. There's something happening in this house. Listen, there's something happening in the very heart of Samuel. I believe God's calling him. And he was right, you know. He was wrong in many things, Eli. Well, I tell you this here tonight. He was right in this, that God was speaking. He was speaking to Samuel. And he perceived the Lord had called the child. And he said to Samuel, he said, tell him, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth if he comes again. So Samuel went back, and it says in verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak for thy servant here. Listen, he's connected with God. God has made the connection, and Samuel has made the connection with God. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Oh, dear friends, can I say to you tonight, what a great blessing it is to see our children being connected with God, to be saved. Of course, the only way we know tonight is through the blood of Christ, through the cross work of Christ, who loves little children, who shall suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And he calls people, come to me washed in his blood. Even tonight we can give the general call of the gospel in this meeting to everyone who's in it, young and old, to come to Christ. Good to see so many young boys and girls out tonight. I want to ask them a question. And I'll preach it to the children just for one moment. Are you saved? Have you come to Christ? That's my question. All the young children, have you heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest? You're brought up in God's house. Great to see them. Taught the catechism, the word of God. Have you come to Jesus like Samuel? Samuel, a young fella, came to Christ. And I trust if you haven't, I trust tonight you will. Come to Christ with all your heart. He will save you. He will give you everlasting life. Older person this weekend, come to Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way of salvation. No other way of getting into heaven but through Christ. So the salvation of Samuel, the Lord called the child. And I'm glad, as Mr. Haar said this morning, that little children can be saved. I can't believe it was brought out this morning in the sermon, these little ones that believe in me. So boys and girls, you can be saved. That's good news tonight in this house. You can be saved, and you can be saved tonight. Come to Christ with all your heart. He called Samuel. Salvation of Samuel. Can I say lastly and very quickly about the ministration of Samuel? Because we find here that there was a twofold call as well to Samuel. Because he was called to salvation and to service. And in verse 19, it tells us in chapter 3, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And we find here that Samuel was a prophet. God called this young man as a child. And he delivered the word of the Lord. He had to deliver a message. Listen, a hard message to Eli and tell him, listen, Eli, here's what's going to happen. There's judgment coming to your family. There's judgment coming to this house because of sin. But listen, Samuel is a prophet of the Lord. He's speaking for God. He's speaking for the Lord. And Lord, all our children would be mouthpieces in a sense for God. And to be a witness for him. Because little boys and girls can tell the story of Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I came across a story about a young girl. She had a curly-headed little girl of 5 years old. She was running one day an errand for her mother to the post office. She met an old man, and he looked at her, and he said, little girl, where did you get those pretty curls? And she sweetly replied to this man that God had given them to me. And she looked up earnestly into this old man's face and says, Mister, are you saved? Well, this old man, he was greatly surprised and deeply impressed by this question. And he says to the little girl, no, I am not. Well answered, June. You called her June. You ought to be, for you're getting to be a pretty old man. And then she ran off to refill her urn and left the man standing. Several weeks, it says, after this, the old man attended a gospel mission. And friends, he testified. He trusted Christ as his Savior. And he told about a wee girl who stopped him. He told the story about her curly hair and the question she asked him, "Mister, are you saved?" And he said, "I had to confess, I'm not saved." But dear friends, it was through that. He was convicted of a sin and he trusted Christ as a Savior. A little child speaking for Christ. I know that all our young ones brought up to the front of this church and dedicated will speak for Christ, whatever way God calls him, uses him in the future. You can find he progressed as well in his life in verse 19, 1 Samuel 3, verse 19. Samuel grew. He grew physically and spiritually. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was one that waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And so he grew, of course. He grew with the Lord and went on with the Lord. And we want to see these little children brought up to the front of the church. We want to see them growing in the congregation. Of course, this can be seen in this congregation because there are young men in this congregation today who were brought up through the Sunday school, the children's meetings. Now they're office bearers or so in the church or play other positions. You've seen it yourself. It grew spiritually and physically, of course, in the house of God. You know something else about Samuel? In verse 19, and it says the Lord was with him. Not tremendous. The Lord was with Samuel. It was said of Joseph also in Genesis 39, verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. I want you to see here tonight, this is this little fella his mom prayed for. This is the one she wept over. And she says, "For this child I prayed, Lord, I give him on to you." Here he is, it tells us, this little child, the Lord was with Samuel. Dear friends, take the world but give him to Jesus. That's what this mother wanted for her children, for her child. I know what could be said of all the children of this congregation, and the youth, of course, that the Lord is with them. And you know, if you're a saved young person tonight, I speak to youth just for a moment. If you're saved, remember in your school, wherever it is, that the Lord Jesus is with you. He's your friend. You remember that? You have a friend in the Lord Jesus. As a young child, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's your friend. He'll be your friend all through your school, your university, your college, whatever the case may be. Remember, young people, the Lord was with Samuel. Are you saved tonight? The Lord's with you. Is he with you? But if you're not saved, he's not with you. And you need to get him with you tonight if you're unconverted in this meeting. We find his faithfulness as well in verse 19, and says, "And did let none of his words fall to the ground." He was very faithful. He was very faithful in the word of the living God. All his whole life, he let none of the words fall to the ground. He loved the Bible. He loved the scriptures of truth. He was dedicated unto the Lord. Listen, he was dedicated unto what God said. He was faithful to God's word. He let none of the words fall to the ground. He stood up, listen, he stood up for Jesus. He stood up for Christ. He let none of the words of God's word fall to the ground. It's not the sort of children we want in our congregation. To love this book, to love the Bible and to follow Christ, and to be faithful. And to be faithful. And to let none of them. None of these words fall to the ground. We know today there are new opinions, new ideas, but we want children who'll grow up and in school and to bring up things as wrong, that they'll speak up and tell them it's wrong, it's against the Bible, it's against the word of a living God. And Samuel was such a person. Dear friends, he was faithful. And it tells us here that God revealed himself to Samuel inside of verse 21. Listen, by the word of the Lord, he was walking with God. He was listening to God. God was speaking to Samuel. How did he do it? By the word of the Lord. This, remember, all started with a mother praying. "For this child I pray, and I give my child unto the Lord." And we trust that mothers and fathers who have done this, not just the last couple of weeks, in recent days, that you'll see it in your children. to love Christ and follow him and live for the Lord Jesus. Maybe you say, Noel, tonight I brought my child to the front of a church. I dedicated my child. And they're far gone in the world. Listen, God is not finished yet. Don't you remember that? God is not finished. The story's not over. It's not over yet. Encourage yourself in that. There's still many prodigals yet to come out of the far country. Still to come out. I keep praying God will bring them out. And we're all praying for such in the congregation here, in this congregation. Remember that. And we encourage one another at the throne of grace and in the place of prayer. We're still praying for it. For this child, I pray. Listen, dedication, very solemn thing. Doesn't save the children. But I trust they will be saved. And live for Christ. And stand for Christ. No other blessing. But I said that particular first, second, third John, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. Is that your desire for your children here tonight in this meeting? No greater joy. That's always been mine. I can say that 100% from my heart. No greater joy than to see my children walk in the truth and live for Christ. That's the most important thing. We trust the Lord will bless his word to hearts. If you're unconverted, if you're a young boy and you're not saved, I'd like to speak with myself or Mr. Hart. We would love to speak with you or an older person to meet me. We trust the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight and that you may come to Christ and be saved.